Hey church, great to be with you today. You have just experienced some very exciting news about your new pastor coming. And we at the district join with you in your celebration. I look forward to the installation service coming in the very near future. You are on a sermon series right now that includes themes around inward, growing with Christ, outward, serving those in the community around you, in the church and outside the church, upward, celebrating God and who He is in through worship and through personal touch. Our topic for today will focus on the enriching of our spiritual journey as we serve other people. In other words, healthy, life-giving service to others comes from a soul that is healthy. Questions I want to ponder this morning. I'm going to ask you these questions and I want you to think about them for just a moment. When was the last time you heard the voice of God speak to you? Was it a loud voice? Or was it a whisper, a quiet voice? Were you able to block out the noise so that you could hear His voice? Part of our challenge in hearing the voice of God is the excessive amount of noise that is going on around us in our lives today. Our mind is so busy and so distracted. Our heart is so overflowing with so many things. Our soul is stretched and pulled in so many different directions. Our emotions, our physical world, everything seems to be so noisy that we struggle to hear the voice of God. Let me show you what I mean by that. And so if you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever you have, please turn with me to Psalm chapter 46. And I want to break this psalm down. Now, a verse in there that we quote all the time is Psalm 46, verse 10, which says this: "Be still and know that I am God." I want to take that verse and actually put it back into the context in which it was written. I want us to understand what that verse means from its proper perspective. So let's read through this together. I'm going to read it really slow, and I'm going to comment along the way. Psalm 46, beginning at verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Friends, that is the key verse that starts out this whole psalm, but it's the key verse that is the anchor to the truth of what's in this chapter. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, because of who He is, we will not fear. Now here comes some noise. I want you to listen to the noise. Ready? Though the earth gives way. Wow, that's a lot of noise. And the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Do you hear the noise? All the noise that's going on around. At this very moment, the psalmist stops and he kind of makes a pause. And he brings us to a place of peace and calm and a sense of the presence of God. And he says these words: "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day." So we have a statement of truth, some noise of what's going on around them, this calm and this peace, and now we're back to some noise because in verse 6 it says, "Nations are in uproar, kingdoms are falling, His voice is lifted, and the earth melts." There's so much going on in that verse. And then another pause. Stop. God's presence brings peace. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The God of Jacob is our safe place. Now we get some more noise. Now some more things are going on. Come and see, beginning in verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought to this earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bows and he shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Lots of action, lots of distraction, lots of noise going on here. And then after all of those things comes verse 10. And it says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, our safe place. The Hebrew word for still is rapha. It means to relax, to cease, to be quiet, to put it down. Simply, it means just stop what you're doing and know that I am God. I am in control of all that's going on. So in other words, friends, he's saying, just stop. Just stop your striving. Stop your driving. Stop your worry. Stop trying to figure it all out. Stop. Let God be God and know that he is in control. Think of your daily life. Think of the busyness of your daily life. Think of the chaos that you're facing these days. Think of the rushing around, the hurriedness, the stress, the unending noise, the distraction of COVID and all that it's causing within everybody's life. Stop. Stop. The question is, how do we do that? How do we stop in the middle of all this stuff and actually hear the voice of God? How do we stop and get rid of the distractions so we can hear his voice? I want to introduce you or reintroduce you to two spiritual practices. One is called solitude and one is called silence. They're similar, but there is a difference. So what is solitude? Kelly Mahoney writes solitude in these words. When we spend time in solitude, we get away from all the things that distract us from our reality. We see inside ourselves. We see our thoughts. We see our behaviors. Solitude brings us peace that we just can't get when we're surrounded by others. It allows us to decompress and take the stress off of our day. Solitude means we just go find a quiet place to stop and hear the voice of God. Silence. Silence, on the other hand, is this. Through silence, we return to our heavenly origin, where there is nothing but calm and peace and repose, and silent contemplation, and adoration of the radiant face of God. Robert Sarah wrote those words in a book called The Power of Silence, Against the Dictatorship of Noise. I love that. Against the Dictatorship of Noise. It's a quiet place where only you are listening in silence to God. Richard Foster puts it this way in his book, A Celebration of Disciplines. There's freedom to be alone, not in order to be away from people, but in order to hear the divine whisper better. Mark Batterson, in his book, Whisper, tells the story or reintroduces the story of December 26, 2004. The third largest earthquake ever recorded, 9.1 on the Richter scale, just off the coast of Indonesia. The shockwave produced was 100 feet high and traveled at a speed of 500 miles per hour. The tsunami claimed over 225,000 lives on that terrible day. One people group in that devastation did not lose a single person from their tribe. They're known as the Moken people. They are a nomadic sea-based culture, people that live on the sea or beside the sea. They're hunters and they're gatherers, and they live in this place to fish and to hunt and to live and to do life together. What saved them from the disaster was this intimate relationship that they have with the sea, this intimate knowledge. They knew how to listen to the sea. They knew what was going on around them. Those in the ocean, when the tsunami began, those in the ocean began to take their canoes and paddle out to sea. And those on the shoreline began to see something was going on, and they were listening and watching the sea. And they actually began to follow the animals and run up the shore and head up to the mountains long before the tsunami even hit their shores. The Moken people would explain about the other fishermen who were blindsided by the tsunami. They would simply say these words, and I quote, "They did not know how to listen to the sea." Mark Batterson, further on in this book, says these words, "Like these seafaring people who speak the language of the sea, we speak the language of the Spirit." The word for whisper in Hebrew is damama, and it can be translated this way: silence, stillness, or calmness. Friends, the intimacy of a whisper draws us into a closer relationship with those around us. I have three grandkids, and these three boys are awesome. I love them. They love us. We have a great relationship, and we live just a few minutes away from their house. When those guys come, 10, 8, and 5, come run and jump into my arms, and I hold them tight, we each give each other just this big hug. I whisper into their ears, "I love you." And they pull back, and they smile, and my youngest grandson leans over and goes, "I love you to the moon and back." Intimacy, relationship, closeness in a whisper. Elijah experienced a whisper from God. In 1 Kings chapter 18 to 19, we hear the whole story, and I do encourage you this week sometime to go back and read this story. But in the story, we have the big event that happens on Mount Carmel, and they have the priests of Baal and Elijah and the fire from heaven. A victory is won for God, and it's amazing. Then we see Elijah run off into the desert. He's so depleted that he wants to just die. And God feeds him through angels and through birds. And then he takes him off to another mountain, and he puts him in a cave, and he says, "Elijah, I have something I want to say to you." And so it says this in verse 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12. "And the Lord said, 'I want you to go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.'" So here he is in the cave, and he hears the voice of God saying, "Come out and stand outside. I want to meet with you." "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord." Hear the noise? "But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And God spoke to the heart of Elijah and told him what was about to happen. But it was not loud. It was quiet. to his soul. Mark Batterson again says these words in his book, when God wants to get our attention, he has an outside voice. But when God wants to be heard, he often will speak in a whisper. Finding that quiet place with God is not an easy practice, but it is a key for us to find and hear the voice of God. Why? Why does it matter? Because our relational, loving God wants to connect with us. He's created us for intimate communion with him. We see it in Genesis chapter 2, where he forms humankind out of the dust, out of the dirt. And then it says he breathed life. It's a similar word in Hebrew to the word whisper. He breathed life. He brought us to life. His intimate, when it talks about creation of the animals and the trees, it doesn't talk about this breathing life in. He spoke and it happened. But here, he molded and breathed. There's intimacy. I love Psalm 139 because it talks about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, knit in the womb of our mother. Just this beautiful picture of the intimacy of God. And in that intimacy, the desire for relationship with us. Now, friends, solitude and silence takes training and repetitive practice. It doesn't just happen. I know when I first started into this journey of the deeper practices of the spiritual disciplines, I remember going, man, I can't do this. I lasted two minutes. And then the world went crazy in my mind. And the noise of all the things I had to get done. It's not easy. It's a practice. It's a discipline. It's something that we need to do regularly to get us into a right place. Let me end with this story from our founder, A.B. Simpson. It's a story that he wrote about his own life and his own journey with solitude and silence. Years ago, a friend placed in my hand a little book, which became one of the turning points in my life. It was called True Peace. It was an old medieval message, and it had but one thought, that God was waiting in the depths of my being to talk with me if I would only get still enough to hear him. I thought this would be a very easy matter, so I began to get still. But I had no sooner commenced than a perfect pandemonium of voices reached my ears, 1,000 clamoring notes from without and from within, until I could hear nothing but their noise and the din of it all. Some of them were my own voices. Some of them were my own questions. Some of them were my own cares. And some of them were even my own prayers. Others were suggestions of the tempter and the voices of the world's turmoil. Never before did there seem to be so many things to be done, to be said, to be thought. And in every direction I was pulled and pushed and greeted with noisy acclamations and unspeakable unrest. It seemed necessary for me to listen to some of them, but God said, "Be still and know that I am God." Then came the conflict of thoughts for the morrow and its duties and cares. But God said, "Be still." And then there came the very prayers which my restless heart wanted to press upon him. But God said, "Be still." As I listened and slowly learned to obey and shut my ears to the every sound, I found that after a while, when the other voices ceased or I ceased to hear them, there was a still small voice in the depth of my spirit. As I listened, it became to me the power of prayer, the voice of wisdom, and the call of duty. And I did not need to think so hard. And I did not need to pray so hard. And I did not need to trust so hard. But that the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in my heart was God's prayer in my secret soul and God's answer to all my questions. Church, let me encourage you to find that quiet place. Let me encourage you to pursue those moments of solitude and silence, to find that intimate time with the Lord and to be able to hear His voice speak to you. Let me give you an exercise that you can maybe practice or try that will help you in this journey. It's called listening prayer. And listening prayer is to find those places of quietness and to seek that intimacy with Jesus. So let me encourage you to start with 30 minutes. Find a place in your house, find a place in your city, a quiet park, up on the mountaintop, by a river. Find a place of quietness and start with 30 minutes. And in that 30 minutes, the first few minutes, you're going to have a million thoughts come to your mind. Simply pray and ask Jesus to capture every one of those thoughts away from you. Sit in silence for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever you can do. Just sit there and be quiet. Then I invite you to take your scripture and to find something and read it out in a way that you begin to just get a sense of what's in those words. Ask the Spirit of God to speak to you. Ask the Spirit of God to reveal to you a word or a concept or something that will give you a sense of what He is trying to say to you. Once you've found this word or this focused concept, write it down and continue to listen for the whisper of God. What is He saying to you through this time? What is He saying to you through that word? At the conclusion of your time, you may want to just write a prayer using that word or concept in your prayer and pray it back to Jesus and thank Him for all that He's done for you. A prayer of adoration, a prayer of thankfulness, a prayer of praise. I want to end off our time with giving you 5 simple questions that I encourage you as a couple or a family or friends or a watch party or in the church. 5 questions to reflect on as we end our time together. The question number 1 is this. When is the last time you heard the voice of God speak to you personally? Question 2. Do you actually believe that you can hear the whisper of God in your soul? Question 3. What causes noise in your life that is a distraction from hearing His voice? Question 4. What keeps you from creating a quiet place in your life to be still? And question number 5. What steps are you willing to take to create that quiet place so that you can spend time in intimacy with Jesus? Church, the Lord bless you.